This morning, in this hour of the show, we'll be talking about foster and adoptive care in Illinois. And we have three guests with us in the studio. Jean Pellegrini, she's a foster parent. Rhonda Newhouse is a Champaign County foster and adoptive care recruiter. Nora Harms is child protection supervisor with the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. We'll try to talk about some of the basics here, and if people have questions, you're welcome to call. Here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Well, thanks all very much for being here.
Thank you.
And just a little bit more in terms of introduction on all of you. Let me go around, and maybe I'll start with Jean. How long have you been a foster parent?
10.5 years.
And how many children have been in your home over that time?
67.
67. What made you decide that this is something you wanted to do?
My husband and I discussed it years ago, and we found that a lot of people needed help, and there's a lot of children out there that needed help, and we just decided to go for it, and we're still doing it.
And you have children of your own?
No, we have two adopted and three fostered.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What, Rhonda, is, as the recruiter for foster and adoptive care here in the county, what exactly do you do?
Okay, well, I work for the Coalition for Community Kids in Care. Represents five agencies that license and recruit foster adoptive parents, people that are interested in becoming and caring for foster children. Those agencies are Lutheran Social Services, CHASSE, help me with some of these, Catholic Social Services, DCFS, Illini Children's Home, and Cunningham Children's Home. All these agencies license foster care. Some of them are more specialized care, kids that have some real difficulties behaviorally or physically, medically challenged. And other ones are just children that have had neglect or abuse or struggles in the home.
Hmm. Well, and Nora, what sort of things, what falls within your area of responsibility at DCFS?
I'm a child protection supervisor, so we deal with reports of abuse and neglect that come in through the community and through the hotline, and we investigate those reports and make some decisions, determinations regarding the welfare of the child. We're the sort of the guardians of child safety. Mm-hmm. And the family unit try to provide some services for the family unit.
Okay. Well, just to head off some calls, maybe we should underscore here at this point that you are not the person who decides whether a child is removed from a home or not.
That's correct.
All right. So that's, well, it may be a fine thing to talk about. You know, that's not really something we can respond to.
That's correct.
In this program. All right. How many children are there in foster care now in Illinois? Even give me a ballpark if you could. Yes.
Well, I think we're really dealing with the Champaign County. Our expertise is more in that Champaign County area. We have, I think, over 350 children in the Champaign County area that are in some type of foster care and placement.
Mm-hmm. And how many foster parents are there? Or how many homes are there?
Boy, there's so many agencies and some different types of homes. I'm afraid I don't have those statistics at this time, but we would be able to get them for you.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll ask a different question like this. Is there need? Do you obviously you need foster parents?
There's absolutely a need for foster parents. We're out there. It's kids are there all the time in desperate need of a place, an alternative, a safe place to go while their parents and families can work on their other issues, and so that they have a safe home environment. So it's a high priority right now.
Mm-hmm. If a decision is made to remove a child and there is not immediately a foster home to place the child in, where do those children go?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, we look for some kind of a temporary or emergency placement. With certain ages of children, we do have some what we call like emergency shelters, crisis nursery, roundhouse for some of the teenagers that we can coordinate with them. However, unfortunately, I think that anybody will tell you that if we can't find a home, we're holding children. They're with us. They're with the investigator. They're with, you know, the department or the agency that's attempting to locate the home.
Hmm. When you look at the kids and why it is that they need some, why it is they're not in their home, why it is they need to be in foster care, what are some of the reasons?
There's issues of possible sexual abuse within the home, neglect, minimal parenting standards aren't met for the children, that it becomes an immediate and urgent need that the children be removed from the home for their own safety and their own protection.
How much does this have to do with the child, and how much does this have to do with the parent? And I ask this question expecting that people who might think about the possibility of being a foster parent would be concerned about what sort of problems the child would bring with him or her, and would wonder, you know, is this really something that I'm going to be up to dealing
sure.
with?
I mean, and I think Ms. Pellegrini can probably, offer to this too, but I mean, a lot of the kids that we see come in, first of all, many times they've been removed from their family setting, and they're immediately, you have loss and you have separations issues, and you have the grief issues that they're going through right away. Many times, sometimes children can be removed due to their behavioral problems, that they're outside the realm of their parents' control at this time, or their parents aren't able to meet their needs. Sometimes it's due to actions on the parent's behalf.
Right.
Well, maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the experiences that you had.
Well, when we first started, we decided to take teenagers. And that was a...
Talk about brave.
Well, we had 8 teenagers at one time in our home, ranging from 16 to 17 years old. And they all come with a little bit of a problem, but nothing that wasn't able to be handled. I mean, we were able to deal with each individual as an individual. And they do come in. Sometimes they come in and they're very angry. Why did it happen to us? Numerous times we sat up until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning with the child, just talking to them, finding them, getting to know the child. A lot of people say teenagers are difficult, but for 4 years we had nothing but teenagers. And but now there is a need for homes for teenagers. There's, we get what they call a honeymoon period, where the first 2 weeks they'll be really, really nice, and then maybe they'll act up a little bit. But once you talk to the child, they're pretty comfortable because they're scared. They've been taken out of the environment that they were in, and they're really scared, and they just want to be with their family. So once you actually start talking to the child, children aren't as terrible as everybody says they are, and we've been doing it for a long time. And if it was something that we thought, we were scared when we first walked in, but we just treat them like our own children.
Are there certain kids that are really hard to place? And when, who would they be?
Teenagers. That's a real high priority. I would say, though, that we're in crisis right now in Champaign and Ford counties, this area, for all ages of children. Sometimes it's difficult to place infants just as much as it is to place teenagers. But teenagers are probably one of the harder groups to place, teenagers and adolescents.
And people, foster parents, do have some discretion about the children that they take. They can say either, I will or I won't, or maybe that there are certain things I feel like, okay, I can deal with this kind of situation, but this situation over here, no, I can't do that.
Right. Foster parents can have, do have the right to say whether they would be able to handle that child. There were a few that... we weren't sure if we could handle, but we did take them, and we had them until they returned home. So, yes, they do have the option as to say, what age they would prefer and if they would be able to handle. But when they do the adoption pride, foster pride classes, that's discussed in the classes with them.
Just to add to that, you really, as a foster parent, once you decide to go, there is a lot of support that's involved to help you understand foster parenting. Right. There's a person that's available 24 hours a day on call that you can call and talk to about any problem that you're having with the children. You can decide the ages, the age range that you would like to consider having in your home, the number of children. Mrs. Pellegrini has had quite a few, and she's... kind of rare. I mean, some people just want one foster child or two or don't want to take any more than 3. So you aren't, they aren't dumping children in your home that you're not feeling capable or able to take care of. It's really important. I think the main desire in becoming a in this whole thing is that that child be able to be reunited with the family. That's the goal, and foster parents, that's hopefully their goal for that child too, is that they would be reunited to help in that process. Although it does happen that if that health doesn't occur in the family and that child isn't able to return home, a lot of times the foster family that has that child at this time can adopt, which I think has happened
right.
in this case.
That's what one of ours was.
Hmm. So one of your adopted children...
Well, actually, I have two adopted children.
So you have two adopted children, but one of those was someone who had been, was a child that had been a foster child in your
yes.
house. Okay.
Yes.
We have a couple of callers. We will be very happy to take questions. Our three guests today, Jean Pellegrini, she's a foster parent, Rhonda Newhouse with the organization Coalition for Community Kids in Care, and Nora Harms from the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. We're talking about foster and adoptive care, and if you have questions, you can call us 333-WILL or 9455 toll-free, 800-222-WILL. First caller here locally in Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. I've always been interested in the possibility of foster care. My question is, I'm wondering how it impacts the children in your own family. We have a 6-year-old who is adopted, a 5-year-old who will be 6 in 2 months, and a 3-year-old. The 3-year-old and the 5-year-old are both boys and share a bedroom. I would be needing to put a foster child in with our 6-year-old daughter who is adopted. And I'm wondering how the family, the children, cope with that kind of thing.
Mm. Good question.
Well, in some senses, it's like you already have 3 children in your home. So every time you brought a child into the mix, there's a reaction from the other children. Just some of that normal reaction and getting used to the new child and that. And that's the same thing that it happens, you know, when a foster child comes into your home. The foster child, though, may be having some more issues. And, you know, it's hard because you're a parent there with your own biological children, and then you have a foster child, and trying to make sure that you're equally spreading your time and you know, meeting the needs of all the children sometimes gets difficult. Also, too, it's part of the licensing standards. They will go out. There are certain space requirements and having to do with age, when you can bunk kids together, you know, who can bunk together and be in the same room. And so those are things that you would need to check out, but that can be handled through your licensing representative that will work with you through the process.
Mm-hmm. If I may add, when we decided after we adopted 2 children, we sat down as a family as to whether or not we wanted to continue, and my son was ecstatic because he would be able to have someone else to play with. So we all sat down as a family and discussed it prior to continuing.
Mm. How old was your son at the time?
When we adopted him, he was 8.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so the idea of a playmate, he was around?
Right. He always had someone to be with him. And now he likes the idea, and we've still been going through it.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering about maybe fostering younger children who wouldn't be competing.
And sometimes, like for you and you're not sure, younger children might be a benefit because then your older children would be able to help out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't want to appear selfish because even the thought of being concerned about how my kids would react, I thought, why should I be so selfish to even worry about that? You know, I'm wanting to do it for the benefit of the foster child, but...
Well, I think that's really an important thing as a parent. You do have that right to be concerned about your children, and so we applaud you for that. You need to be thinking through those issues and even talking them over with your children. I know 6, 5, and 3, that's a little more difficult, but starting to get their feelings on having another child in the home and sharing time, those are all very, very important issues, and they need to be thought through. And as there's a pride training for foster parents and adoptive that lasts about 12 weeks and that meets once a week for 3 hours.
Yes,
ladies.
3 hours.
And they go over a lot of those issues and discuss concerns and how it's going to impact your family. And when you're going through this class, you still have an opportunity to back out. Actually, at any time, you can decide not to be a foster parent. You aren't locked into it.
Mm-hmm. And there's also continual training provided for you throughout the lifetime, you know, that you do stay a foster parent, and there are support systems out there. And I think if you begin the licensing process or you're considering it, that your licensing representative that will be working with you can be a very good resource with you, because they can talk with you about where your strengths are, where that you feel a little on the edge about, talking about the ages of your kids, and start identifying maybe what would be best suited or the ages of the children in your home, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
And we will be giving a number out before the end that you could call, and it's a coalition number, that and you would be speaking to me, and I'd be glad to talk through some of those issues with you. And then if someone decided they wanted to go ahead and go on to that next step of having a license or come in to talk more about foster parenting, we'd get you hooked up with the appropriate agency that would meet your needs.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Thank you for the call. Let's talk with someone else here. This is Aurora, line number 4. Hello.
Yes, hi. Good morning. I know a woman who had her children taken away, and now they're trying to get the family back together, and I think it's so wonderful that they're giving this mother another chance, looking into it, and trying to put it back together, and I think it's a wonderful thing, and to give the mother a second chance and the children a chance to be with their siblings. And I guess I want to give the agencies praise for trying to do a difficult thing like that. To have it be an ongoing thing It's just wonderful, and I just hope it works this time. So I wanted to say that. And I had a question to ask. I don't understand. I know another woman who has lived for 15 years with a very abusive husband physically, and she finally last summer decided to leave. But the child, who's going to be 15, has to spend time with this abusive husband, father. I don't understand why a child who's afraid of her father has to be with him. Could you explain that? I understand in Indiana they don't do that. Why does Illinois?
I'm not sure with the guests that we have this morning.
Whether they can really
well, just simply because it's not what they deal with, and I don't know whether Nora, you want to.
Okay, then I'll.
I probably should explain a little bit. I am in the Division of Child Protection within the Department of Children and Family Services, but I'm here today on behalf of foster parents and adoptive parents, and that.
Well, then I'll go on to my last question.
Okay.
How does the law stand now with people that adopt children? How does it stand? How long do they have the child where it cannot be taken back by the natural mother? I think of these women that, or parents that adopt children and then have to be concerned about the child being taken away from them at some time. How does the law stand now?
Well, the state of Illinois has enacted some new guidelines and some new laws, and we talk about some permanency goals. And if a child's been removed from the home, they look at permanency goals, and if the parents are able to correct the conditions that remove that child from the home, they look at a 9 to a 12-month period unless there's reasons to continue the children to stay in care. The focus is, of course, stability and permanency for the child. If it's a court proceeding that it goes through, of course, it takes time to go through that proceeding. Usually it's going to be at least 12 months initially through the court systems, 9 to 12, and then from there. And then there is a time that if Through the court process, parental rights are terminated. The parents do have a right to appeal that, and there's time frames involved with that, and that's before or while the adoption process, and they're starting some of that information.
So then, it's not positive when the parent adopts the child that the child will stay with the adoptive parent.
No. Once a parent is terminated on and they've done their appeal process and the appeal is denied, if the foster parent decides to adopt the child, that child is legally yours. The birth parents cannot come back and say, well, I want my child back.
Okay.
They cannot do that. Once the court has terminated on a parent and the appeal has been denied, they cannot come back and get the child.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks. One thing that I'm sure is difficult, and Jean probably could be the one to talk about this, and maybe Rhonda and Nora could too. It must be pretty hard once you've spent time with the child and you bonded with the child and you care enough, you start to get involved with the child's welfare, for then the child to go. Now, I'm sure that you say, well, I would really like to see the child go back into their own home, go back with their parents, and yet is that difficult when it comes to that time you have to say goodbye?
It is difficult. Like I said, we've had quite a few children that have gone home, and then we've had children that other people have wanted to adopt, where we've wanted to, but, you know, we won't step on anybody's toes, so to speak. It is difficult, but I think knowing in our hearts that we've done everything we could for the child, and we still, as a matter of fact, we still maintain contact with most of the children that we've had in our home. So keeping a contact, whether it be a letter, maybe a phone call once in a while, that helps the transition for the child to be back home, knowing that there is a friend out there that they can still rely on if they needed to talk to someone.
And I think we also work like on a real team effort, mm-hmm. and as part of a team. And so the biological parents and the foster parents and the caseworkers involved in the case all work together for the child's best interest. And I think that also helps with transition times too.
Right, because like in our case, I meet the birth parents. We always go and meet the birth parents. And so we all work, like Nora said, we all work as a team. And we keep close contact with the parent, you know, and fill them in on schooling and things like that. So it helps. It helps the child. That also helps a child in your home understand that you're not mad at the parents aren't mad at you. So this makes the transition for them in your home a little easier, knowing that you're communicating with with their parents. So it helps out in a lot of areas. And we do have a team effort. Everybody has a role to play, and everybody works together and try and keep things.
And we don't want to, I think it's important not to make this pie in the sky. You're working in very difficult situations with families that are struggling and under a lot of emotional stress. So that teamwork isn't always easy. I mean, I think there are times that
there are difficult times, yes.
It moves through and things seem to go well and that child gets reunited and you get to be a part of that process. And that's very rewarding. But there's other times that biological parent just isn't able to get to the place in their health to be the kind of parent, and so that has its own challenges with it. I think it's really important that Jean mentioned that you invested that bit of time that you had to help this child feel cared about, maybe in a healthy way for the first time, to have a safe place to live. Just a lot of neat things you're getting to put into a child that they might not have experienced if they had not been in your home.
Mm-hmm. We're a little bit past the midpoint here. Let me introduce again all the guests. We're talking this morning about foster and adoptive care with Jean Pellegrini. She's a foster parent and has had many foster children in her home over the years. Rhonda Newhouse with the Coalition for Community Kids in Care. One of the things that she does is that she tries to work to recruit people to become foster parents. Nora Harms is Child Protection Supervisor with the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. Why don't you go ahead, Rhonda? You said that you would give a telephone number if people would like to get more information. They're interested in talking to somebody about the possibility of becoming a foster parent.
Okay. The number that we have is 278-5300. That they can call and ask for me. My name is Rhonda Newhouse, and I would be the one that would probably talk with you more and find out just things and your interest in the ages of the children and things, and then we would move on to talking about different agencies and which one would best suit you. For example, if you really wanted teens, which we are in need of, I'm promoting that right now, we need homes for teens, then certain agencies have more of those. Cunningham has specialized treatment and all agencies have teens that they need homes for, but just exactly what you're willing to work with and open up your heart and home for.
Okay. We have some other folks to talk with. We'll do that going next to someone in Kankakee, and this is line number one. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I are going into the foster care system beginning in this February when we begin to attend the Pride classes. My question kind of relates to our expectations. When we first began talking about this, my wife and I, we assumed that we would become foster parents and there would be serial children in our care as the children were returned to their homes. But we've since found, after a couple of orientation meetings, that there's a very real likelihood that the children or child or children that we end up fostering could become adoptable. We were kind of surprised to find that a very high number of children do remain with their foster parents, which is we've had to kind of adjust our outlook on this. It's a positive thing in our opinion. We wonder if you have the accurate numbers on what percentage of children that are fostered return to their birth parents, and what percentage become are essentially fostered to adopt.
Well, we need to apologize to you for one thing. Those numbers are available and they are out there. We don't have them with us today, and we'd hate to just pull something off the top of our head that would be inaccurate. That it is a choice of that foster parent always to whether, if that child does become adoptable, whether they want to keep that child and then if that's their desire and goal in their relationship. Otherwise, there are other homes that are made available for adoption for that child. I don't know if Jean would like to speak to this a little bit.
You don't necessarily. Our choice was to adopt the children we had in our home because we'd had them for so long. But if you feel that isn't a child that you would like to have permanently in your home, you can keep the child until they find a home for that child.
Yeah, I understand that. And like I said, we're kind of see this as a positive development that because one of the things that made us reluctant to get into the foster system was the thought of having to give up a child that would become attached or the child had bonded with us, and so this was a bright spot, finding that it's the likelihood of our being able to stay with a child or a child to stay with us was, you know, that's a good thing. But we just kind of heard conflicting numbers on.
Right. A lot of it just depends on the birth parents and the courts. If the birth parent is not willing to put forth the effort to get the child home, then that's when the court steps in and says, okay, if you're not willing, that's where the 9 months period comes in. And if the birth parent is not willing to try, then that's when the court has to say, okay, now we have to take the initiative and start the termination process. That's where the child comes in as far as being able to be put up for adoption. Yes. But there's a lot of steps involved. It doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of steps involved with it, and sometimes it just takes a lot of time and patience.
I think a lot of our concern with giving that hope that a child will be able to be adopted to every foster parent, the real desire for us for foster parents is that their goal be reunification.
Right, to try and get the child home.
Right, that you would be working to help that child have a successful transition back into a home that hopefully has gotten safer. So maybe, I'm not sure where the difference in the numbers that you're hearing, other than we really don't try to dangle that out there as a hope that, okay, if you become a foster parent, you're going to get to keep this kid. Because I think that's a wonderful, it's wonderful for me to hear that you want to invest yourself in a child to go ahead and give that child a permanent home. And that's such a wonderful heart to have, and we love to hear that in foster parents. But we would hate to give you that false illusion that that's going to automatically happen if you become a foster parent.
I think with that, Illinois has realized that there has been a problem and that in the past kids have sometimes languished in foster care with no real permanency or no real direction or goal, and have really taken some strong efforts to combat that. And some of the children you may be hearing about are some of those older, that have been in the system longer, but the push is really on to really work, invest time with the biological parents, try to correct the conditions that brought the children into foster care in the first place, and work with the whole family unit, which includes the foster parent, to return the children back home.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right, thanks. Well, just to underscore what you say, and it sounds as if you'd want to make sure people understand that, first of all, if people are interested in adopting children, that's great, and there are children that need homes. Mm-hmm. But if that's really what you want, maybe you ought to think about that. The idea of foster care is providing a safe, temporary place for a child, and the goal is, what everybody hopes will happen is, that child's going to go back to his or her parents.
And I
right,
did,
the,
go ahead.
Sorry. The primary for foster care is to, like you said, give them a permanent home, something until they can get back with their biological parents. But I just want everyone to understand that fostering is, when we first started, that was not our initial to adopt. We just wanted to be out somebody that would be able to help other children and other people and other families. So the primary goal for fostering is to reunify the child. And with that, knowing that does help the transition. You've given the child a lot of love. You've given them a lot of stability. You've also given them a lot of self-esteem, because a lot of them will come in with low self-esteem. So you've given them a lot of self-esteem, knowing that they can accomplish any challenge that just about any challenge that's out there for them. So the primary thing is that the child is reunified with the family, and like Rhonda said, there's no number. You can't just say that tomorrow that child's going to be eligible for adoption. You don't know that. It's just,
and we do have an adopt only that you
yes.
can call and say, I do just want to be considered for adoption only. Children that are at legal risk, children that we really know are moving that direction to be removed from the home permanently. So this is, you can still call for that. There is an adopt only pride class that just trains you, and gives you information more about adopting. So we wouldn't want to discourage that aspect. We do need homes, permanent homes for children. But the foster parenting role has already been really discussed. Well, I think it's reunification.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some requirements for those, and at some time maybe we could just talk about the specific requirements.
Okay. Well, we have somebody else who's holding, so why don't we talk with them, and then we can come back to that. And, of course, other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Here's a caller in Champaign. This is line 2. Hello.
Yeah, hi. Mm-hmm. I'm calling, maybe prospective foster families would be interested. I'm more interested from the taxpayer perspective. What's the compensation available to a foster family, and the source of that compensation? Is it tax funding, or is it nonprofit organizations or whatever? And I'm sure, what is it for foster parents, and does that change if they adopt? Are they still given the same amount of support to provide for the child?
As an adoptive parent, yes, you still get funding for the child. It's no different than what the board rate would be. And our children don't know they still get it. So we put it, our money that we get for our children, we've put in the bank for them. But yes, you still get adoption assistance for the child. There's still always someone out there willing to help you. We have a team that works with us, with our children. And you can claim them as dependents on your taxes.
Uh-huh. But is there actual, monthly cash maintenance payments to, provide for the children?
You would get what they consider a board check for the child.
Huh.
So you still get a subsidy for the child even after the child is adopted?
And while the child's in care with you, you will receive a medical card to meet the medical needs of the
children? They'll keep that medical card until they're 18 years old.
Okay.
So they will always have medical coverage and subsidy payment.
And there is a difference in how much you reimburse depending on the type of treatment or the type of foster family you are. If you're a treatment family, a specialty family, if you're willing to take medically challenged or more of the behavioral problems, you get much more a month to help offset the amount of time you're going to have to spend taking them to a counselor or taking them to the medical doctor. There's a broad range. I want to say it starts somewhere around $350.
About $350 a month.
All the way up to over $1,000 a month per child.
So depending on the age.
Depending on the age. So there is a range, and it differs, and it is through the state. I believe the funding is
right.
Taxpayer. We
yes.
all pay to help these children to find some success and stability.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right. Other questions are welcome. We have about 10 minutes left in the show talking about foster and adoptive care. And again, I'll introduce our guests. Jean Pellegrini, she's a foster parent. Rhonda Newhouse is with the Coalition for Community Kids in Care. And she's the person that you can call if you're interested in finding out more about becoming a foster parent.
And initially, I actually gave you the wrong number. If you have that number and you call me, that's fine. They can get a hold of me. But the number you can get me directly is 217-355-4547.
Okay.
And that's the coalition number.
And also here with us is Nora Harms. She's a child protection supervisor with the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. We were going to talk, or did you interested in talking some more about what are the requirements of a person who would be interested in becoming a foster parent?
Sure. There's some real basic requirements for it. First of all, you need to be at least 21 years of age. You need to have enough room and beds in your home for a foster child to sleep and keep their belongings at. You need to have a home that can meet basic fire safety and sanitary standards, be physically and emotionally capable of caring for children, and have no alcohol or drug abuse problems. You will need to be able to pass a criminal background check and have no substantiated record of abusing or neglecting children. And you'll need to make enough money to provide for your own family, so you do not need to depend on the foster care reimbursement you receive as the state income. Mm-hmm. There's also, once you make the decision, those are basic requirements going into the process, but once you make the decision to become a foster parent, there's also a training that's provided in Illinois. It's a standard program. It's called the Foster Pride Program. You've heard us mention it earlier today, and that's required of all foster parents to go through. There's also continuing education for the foster parents that every so many years they're required to get continuing education, but that is provided by the state to help you keep up with that, and they do their utmost to make that easily available.
Can a single parent be a foster parent? Or a single person be a foster parent?
You bet.
Yes.
Sure. And I guess I'd like to take this. Jean's here today, and she came a little ways to as a foster parent to come talk. And we really feel that foster parents are remarkable people. They open their hearts and homes to some of the most vulnerable children in our society, children that if they didn't have that type of love and care at this time could end up costing us a lot, our society a lot emotionally and monetarily. They end up in jail. They end up in a lot of difficult situations if they don't have that kind of love. So Jean has offered them safety and love and nurturing. And at the same time, I think any foster parent would tell you that they're enormous challenges, and we wouldn't want to underestimate that when you open your heart and home to these children, there can be enormous challenges. And what I'd like, I guess hopefully Jean can help us out for a minute here, is to talk about if the people listening really don't feel like foster care works for them, that it's not something they can do or maybe would consider another time, there are things that community can do, that they can do, that would help support that foster parent's efforts with this child that would just benefit them so much. So maybe Jean can tell you a few things that her community's done or people have done that she's benefited from.
Sure.
Sometimes with our busy schedule with the children, my oldest son wanted to play basketball, and I told him, I said, there's no way that I can do it on a, on a night he wanted to play. So his coach voluntarily came from his home to come get my son so that he could play basketball. I've had people come and help take my children to the library if they wanted to just walk down to the store and we were going to counseling or something. I've had the neighbors have come and asked, you know, if their children come to my house. I've had neighbors come and say, well, we'll let, you know, take a day off. We'll watch your children for you. So there's always someone in our community that is actually willing to help us one way or another. Neighbors have come with clothes for the children when they first come to the home. Sometimes they don't have a lot of clothing. So I get clothing from the for the children. I even get suitcases. Children come in with a plastic bag or a garbage bag or a box with their belongings in it. So I collect suitcases for children. So it's just a wide variety of things. I have people that are just willing to help as much as they can, whether it be financially or whatever, and we won't take money from people for the children. But if there were clothing and I didn't have clothing for, say, a 6-month-old child, then someone would give me clothing for that child.
I have some thoughts to add to that. Just things that people could do. One is you could volunteer to tutor or just mentor, tutor in reading, or just spend time. We had a foster child that would come into our home, and she was a teenager, and we would go shopping together or just bake cookies. So she just loved that time, and we'd go do things together. Offering a foster child free lessons for something, music, dance class, those things that a lot of families get to do because there's extra money that foster parents are on the edge a lot of times of the income with these children. So just those extra things. One foster family mentioned that they got 4 children all at one time, no bicycles, and someone brought 4 bicycles, used bicycles, but those children had never, several of them had never really ridden a bicycle. So that was a real thing that would be hard to afford at one time.
Right.
Camps that the children could go to, you know, inviting them to those is a nice thing. Scholarships, ways to help a child through school, college even. So there's things you can do that's not handing money to the family, but just even spending time and mentoring one of those foster children. When you have how many children, is it hard to dedicate the kind of time?
It is. We have a friend that lives in the other community that her sister came and dropped off. She knocked on my door and she said, can you use these? And I ended up with like 8 different bicycles, and they ranged from small to 10 speeds. And I'm like, well, yeah, a couple of them can use them. And I said, well, we only could use, you know, the 5 of them. And she said, oh, no, just keep them. And, you know, if you get more children. So, and what we do is we let the children take a bicycle with them if they're going to be close to going home. We give them everything that we have given them, everything that comes into the home for them. And I'll ask the community, do you want these back? No. So we will actually turn around and give them back. My son has volunteered to give our youngest his bicycle because his bicycle is too small. So he's going to give his bicycle up for one of the other children in the home. The community does have a strong impact on the children, and we're in a very small community, and we've had biracial African-American children in our home, and they've just been so supportive with us and just delighted to have so many different children around, and we've never had any problems with anyone, and everyone is just right there for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's good to hear those sorts of things for anybody who might have a problem with the notion that we're providing some cash support for foster parents. I'm sure that it is the case, to the extent that they can, that foster parents end up paying an awful lot of stuff out of their own pocket. So it's not like this is a money-making proposition.
Right, and that's why we won't take anything for the, you know, one woman offered us money and I said, no, we don't need, you know, we're okay. And then people just started, accumulating clothes, and then I just take them and say, okay, can you use these clothes? You know, so we just, a lot of people just give us clothes, bicycles, take them to the library, take them. Sometimes we can't get the child to sporting events, or Girl Scouts or whatever they want to get into, soccer, things like that. So we do have a lot of support.
One of the, I'd just like to add, right before Christmas, we had a Giving Tree project, which the Boy Scouts helped with in the collection of presents. And just to let the Boy Scouts know, we appreciated them so much. We probably got over 300 presents that were distributed to the different agencies. And we asked those agencies this week how that went. And those presents went to homes where children, many of them just got children into their home, like three or four children just came into a home. And there wouldn't be a present for a child or very many, you know, presents. So, and other children where the families have a lot more children and it's hard to get all those presents. So they really did benefit, and we appreciated that efforts right. of the Boy Scouts.
We're almost out of time. I have a couple of callers. I want to try to get at least one more. Let's do that. Champagne, line one. Hello.
Hi. I just had a quick question. You mentioned about volunteering for tutoring. Who would I contact for that?
Well, you can call the Coalition line again, and you'd probably speak to me. My name is Rhonda, and we would be glad to talk with you and try to get you hooked up with an agency and then family and children that could benefit from your willingness to be a mentor. If not, if you know someone that's a foster parent or know someone that knows someone, you can go to them directly. I think foster parents are probably always willing if someone called them and said, could I spend some time with your child and provide that positive and encouraging mentoring, it would be well appreciated. So.
I was thinking more like school tutoring, a special subject. Is that needed or not?
Sure.
What's your number?
Sure. Let me get that for you.
I got it right here. How about 217?
Wrong one.
all right, Rhonda. Keep changing it on.
I'm sorry. It's 355-4547.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Well, we're at the point where we're going to have to stop. My apologies here with somebody we can't take. Once again, we'd like to say thanks to our guest, foster parent Jean Pellegrini, Rhonda Newhouse from the Coalition for Community Kids in Care, Nora Harms from Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. And again, if people are interested in finding out information about becoming a foster parent, they are interested in perhaps providing some kind of support for somebody else who is, and all that kind of stuff, you can talk with Rhonda Newhouse all about that. You want right. to give the number one more time?
355-4547, and we would love to talk with you more about anything you might be interested in.
All right. Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.